This week on the Union Podcast, we have one of the most well-known names in fitness and contest prep.
This is Tad the Diet Coach with the Union Podcast. Lift strong and prosper.
Any information in this podcast should first be reviewed by the corresponding professional, whether that's medical, financial, or legal, before applying it to your life. The views presented here may or may not be those of the host, guest, Union of Muscle, Black Hat Management, or its affiliates.
On this week, September 28th, 2014 to October 5th, 2014, United States is in the lead, followed in second by Brazil and France. Argentina, India, and Philippines are in third place, and Canada, Malaysia, Russia, and Taiwan are in fourth. Your top leaderboard placement is third place, member 366. In second place, athlete 215. And in third place, member 363. Remember, the only way to get your country to top placement and your episode to top placement is to get more people to listen. And the only way to get more Fitcoin points is for you to lift strong and prosper. So I'm here with Tad the Diet Coach, and I think many of you probably know who Tad the Diet Coach is. Although I was at the YMCA, Tad, that's where I work out, and there were a few there who didn't know you. I was shocked and disappointed. So why don't you go ahead and share a little bit about who you are?
Well, I go by Tad the Diet Coach. It's sort of a moniker that I picked up years ago, and I'm a nutritionist and diet coach, and I focus predominantly on helping athletes in bodybuilding, figure, fitness, and bikini, physique guys and gals as well. And then also, I also have a section of my business that I focus on normal people who want to have that look, but don't necessarily want to step on stage. So people with just health in mind, weight loss, those kinds of things. The bulk of my business is our athletes, people who are concerned with getting stage ready and competing and things like that. And I focus predominantly on the nutritional aspects, supplementation, nutrition, and those kinds. That's what I've studied clinically. And that's where my areas of expertise are. At one time, I did own a gym, and I did train people in the gym, and I distanced myself from the moniker trainer because I'm not a trainer, and I don't train people in the gym anymore. And I really don't like it, actually.
Okay.
But I've been called a trainer by a lot of people because I work with so many athletes, and people just sort of assume it, but that's not what I do. I'm a nutritionist and diet coach. I go by the moniker Tad the Diet Coach because it was simple, because my full name is much harder to remember for most people. My full name is Tadayoshi Inoue, but most people murder it, and I just decided to go with Tad the Diet Coach.
Right on. But Tad, why do all this? What got you so interested in helping people be healthy? I mean, what's the big deal?
Well, you know, for me, this started a labor of love, because I started this stuff way back over 30 years ago when I was 15 years old. I remember I went out for football and just didn't have a lot. And the coach pretty much had to take me on, you know, as a player. And so, but I knew right away that he didn't really want to work, and he had no intention of playing me. So it was kind of demotivating. However, I remember one particular day I was out there, and you know, funny thing, everything always boils down to those little singular events sometimes in your life that can sometimes change the course of what you do in your life. And I remember I'm sitting there, and the captain of the team, he was our quarterback. He was like senior, kind of a big guy. He was very developed, and everybody looked up to him. He was like big man on campus. We're combing our hair, we're in the mirror, and he looks over at me. He's like, "Hey man, don't even sweat this stuff. Just go hit the gym. It'll all work out."
Nice.
And I took that as a compliment, and I just so happened the following week I was at the grocery store, and I saw this Muscle Fitness and this Flex magazine, and there were these huge bodybuilders on there. I was like, holy crap, you can get that big? I'm like, man, I'm in. That's what I want to do. From that moment on, I was a bodybuilder at heart. Started reading everything I could. I asked my mother for some weights for Christmas.
Nice.
So I spent 6 months of trying to prepare myself to get ready to do this endeavor. I had a little set of dumbbells that I worked with, and I worked out at the gym at school, and I did as much as I could before I got my own weight set and stuff. And that's kind of the way it started. I did this solely to compete. I wanted to get up there and develop my physique, get on stage and compete. Something that I wanted to play some kind of sport, and I was seemingly thwarted from it and from the traditional, you know, team sports, at least at the level that I wanted to play it at. And so this was a way for me to do it without having to rely on anybody else to say yes or no. I could just go and I could train, I could do this, I could enter contests if I felt like it, and I could apply myself. And I did. I didn't actually get on stage until I was 19, though, but I did compete. That was 1989. That was the first time I competed in bodybuilding. Nice. Didn't do as well as I hoped, but I wanted to get up there and see if I actually could handle getting on stage, if that makes sense. Because
no, it does. It does.
You know, a lot of people, they never, you know, you never know what's going to happen to you. Yeah. Get on stage in front of like a couple thousand people in a pair of Speedos, you know. You just don't know what's going to happen. You're like, oh, am I going to really like this or not?
Right.
So, turns out, I loved it. And it was like a way for me to be something other than what I was. I could transform myself. And I stuck with it. And so I've never stopped. It's been 30 years now. And now I help other people do it because originally I thought I wanted to be Mr. Olympia. But those things aren't always controlled by us.
Yeah. You
know, I have the genetics that I have, and I've been very blessed in my life to have competed very successfully and won a national title and all these kind of, and these are great. We don't always, you know, there's always, the sport gets tougher and tougher every year. It seems like you just never know how your life's going to spin. When I was starting out in the 80s, there were no coaches. There were no coaches like me out there helping athletes. And so I didn't ever think when I got into college, when I was studying this stuff, I studied nutrition and exercise science and biochemistry. And later in life, it all sort of gelled. I bought a gym and trained people in the gym for a while, but really loved doing the diets and helping them get ready for contests and things like that. So I ended up refocusing my business solely many years ago and just focused on this. And so for the last, 25 years or whatnot, I've been focused almost exclusively on doing this, and it's been a huge blessing in my life. Huge. So I can't complain.
That's awesome. I think it was probably about that age. I was probably about 13 when I started kind of formulating an idea of what I wanted to do with my life, what I wanted to be in my life. That's kind of interesting. You know, you were 15. That's within that same age range. That's maybe, I don't know if you've seen that, but I mean, because I started formulating those ideas around that age, I think it's an important age in the life of youth. It's kind of where they might begin to formulate what they want to do with their rest of their life. And they need kind of positive role models.
Absolutely. I always loved muscles. I mean, like that. I mean, I remember when I was 11, I think it was 12, Conan the Barbarian came out, and I remember seeing this commercial, this sort of preview at drive-in movie theater. I was very poor. We grew up very poor. So anytime I went to the movies, it was pretty much a drive-in because it was like $5 a carload.
Right.
You know, my mother could afford it. I have an identical twin brother. And so for a family of three, that was very economical.
Yes.
We would bring our food, pop popcorn, bring some of those candy by the pound, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Perfect.
And
perfect.
We would make a night of it. And it was wonderful. But I remember seeing this preview of Conan the Barbarian. I'm like, holy shit. Like, that dude's huge. I was like, man, that's awesome. Like, I remember at like the age of 11 to 12, I remember thinking, wow, that's something else. You know? I just didn't know there was a sport behind it. You know, I didn't know there was a sport called bodybuilding. But I totally fell in love with muscles, and I knew that whatever I was doing in my life, I knew I wanted to have something to do with this. I started soon after that at 11, age 11, I asked my mother for weights. But she gave us these dumbbells, and they were like 6-pound dumbbells. I remember I trained with those until I started training for bodybuilding. Every day. I mean, my friends used to make fun of me because I would bring them with me.
Yeah.
When I would stay at my friend's house, and bring them with me. And my brother did the same thing. And they'd be like, what are you doing? And they're like, man, I got to get my workout in. I had a series of exercises that I would go through that came in a manual with these dumbbells. I'm like, I'm like 13, 14 years old. And my friends think I'm nuts, but I'm like, I didn't care, man. I'm like, I don't care, man. This is definitely going to make me better than I am now.
That's awesome. That's awesome. No, I was similar. I started out very early. I was in middle school and my sister was going to high school. And that's the first time I remember I would get up early because she would go earlier to school than I would. And I would go run. I would go run and then I'd come back and do my push-ups and my sit-ups. I didn't have weights, but I just kind of made up my own routines. I just always would have a routine I was doing at least 5 days a week. Really great. And, you know, we didn't grow up with too much money either. But, you know, what's so good about getting into fitness and maybe even getting into bodybuilding is that you can be a hero to so many people just by keeping healthy and working out. You can inspire people to be healthy themselves. And it might be a small thing, but it's one of the most important things we have is our health. Because without our health, we're not going to be able to be successful in anything else in life. So if you can be a model of health and vitality, and if you can inspire kids, because, I mean, I've seen young ones competing. We had a competition over here, a natural competition, and there were some young guys getting up on stage. You know, they were 16, 17 years old. And, you know, with the kind of muscle development they had, you know they weren't spending their whole time in front of the computer or in front of the Xbox or whatever. They had to have dedicated some serious time to get the kind of muscle that these young guys were able to pack on at their age. You know, and that's something I think that can be, you know, pushed forward in society as something young people can aspire to is exercising and being healthy.
Absolutely. I'm frequently asked this question by parents and stuff, because I have worked with, I usually don't take on clients who are younger than 18 just for legal purposes, but
sure.
I have on occasion if their parents consent to it. But I do know, I have noticed that over and over, especially with the advent of social media, it's very easy to get a hold of me. People can just message me, and I get a lot of kids, and they're very interested at so much younger ages now than I thought that they would be. Especially because when I was growing up, I felt like I was pretty much one of very few individuals. Everybody else who's interested in this stuff, like I was, they were into sports. They were doing it for football. And then when football was over, it's done. You know,
right.
I don't want to do this year. You know, I knew that I was, I wanted to go to the gym. I wanted to lift weights. I wanted to be serious about my diet. And everybody in high school knew me as Tad the Bodybuilder. Even though I didn't look like it, I was 120 pounds. By the time I had put a year, I can't even tell you this is how geeky I am with this stuff. I can't even tell you what I weighed at every age I was at.
That's awesome.
Because it was a marker for me. It was
right.
How did I know my progress was going well? It was by my weight. Now, today I use different yardsticks, but back then it was sheer weight, and it was a good one. So I remember when I was 16, I had just broken 119 pounds. And then when I graduated from high school, I broke 150 pounds. And so these were big milestones.
Right.
And I guess I'm so glad that I was so anal about it because it produced a career for me. But so many of my friends, now they say, oh, wow, well, we knew you'd make something of this. You were so serious about it. And they tell me this now, 20 something years later.
Yeah.
And, I'm definitely glad that I did because I wouldn't have it any other way. I've produced so many wonderful relationships in the industry, had more value to my life than just bodybuilding. It's got the kind of value that I get from it goes beyond just what I get out of it as a sport, but it's my personal life as well as my own physical well-being. It's definitely had its benefits on all levels and fronts of my life.
Yeah, no, I agree that fitness, and this is what I think a lot of people don't get. I have family members who say, well, why don't you just go, mow the lawn or go cut chop some wood or something like that. And I'm like, guys, it's really not the same. Like, I can mow the lawn and chop the wood, and I could probably do them both in the same day and go to the gym because I have been going to the gym. So my body's prepared to do these tasks that for most people seem so arduous, but for me it's, it's like, well, yeah, let me get that out of the way so I can go work out.
If they went to the gym, they would probably feel the same.
Yeah.
I try, but
family.
It took my mother was chronically overweight in her adulthood. And I remember seeing her go through diet after diet after diet when I was growing up. And she was always fighting her weight. It took her 20-something years before she came to me and said, hey, can you help me? I said, sure. By that time, she was in her 60s, and she didn't have the same mobility that she had before. And a lot of it was due to her weight. She's not very tall, so every pound counts.
Yeah.
And it was hurting her knees and her hips and all these things. And she's never been active. See, we took off 65 pounds in 6 months with only walking.
Right.
And that walking only started a couple of months after she already started the diet program. So there was some real concrete changes that she was able to make and make good progress, and it made such an impact. She was able to go up and down her stairs again. She was able to do all these things. My family definitely, for the first 20 years, it took them a long time for them to really get it, that this was going to be, this was not a phase, this was not a fad, this was not something that I was going to find, that was going to be a hobby for me. It was going to be a very deep, integrated part of my life, and I was going to make it that, not only as a profession, but also as a person. When I go on vacation, man, the first thing I look at is, where's the gyms?
Right.
What gym do they got? Because I want to go, because for me, my wife thinks I'm nuts, though. But for me, that's relaxing. That makes it a vacation. I got to work out. And everybody who knows me knows that if I don't work out for 2 or 3 days, man, Ted's grumpy.
Yep. Yeah. Same way.
I want to go train. I got to train. I got to get a release. That's my stress release as well. And I feel a little, I'm such a busy, busy person. My business keeps me extremely busy all year round. And so when I do take a break, a vacation, it's almost as if I have to have some things that I gotta fucking keep my body busy with.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So, but I don't know if that makes any sense or not.
No, totally. I'm the same way. I think what happens is that because so many people get into their mind, they're going to get into a healthy state. They're going to try the new diet. They're going to try the new fad that's out there about getting fit. And yet they try it for a little while and then they end up falling through with it. And so that's why, because often that's the pattern most people have, is that it is a fad for most people. I mean, it doesn't have to be, guys. It doesn't have to be a fad. But that's just what's happened in the past.
Right.
But there are many people now, and I think it's increasing, who don't let physical fitness just be that fad. They may jump from fad to fad, but they're still engaged. There's a lot of people who are keep engaged, you know, even through the different fads, which is okay. As long as they're being healthy and keeping moving, I say.
Well, absolutely. And what I've told people is this. This is the way I describe it. I tell them, hey, look, you know, here's how you generate success with your body. You got to fall in love with your process. You actually have to literally fall in love with this lifestyle. If you don't, you're just going to be waiting till you can stop it and return back to your normal lifestyle, which has produced exactly what you see in the mirror today. And if you're happy with what you see in the mirror today, then keep doing that. But if you're not, which most people are not, and when they move to doing something like incorporating the workout program, incorporating a very, healthy diet, incorporating these lifestyle habits that changes your physique, if you want that physique, the trade-off is that it's at a price, and the price is a lifestyle, and that lifestyle is non-negotiable. You can't negotiate with your body with it. So if you decide, so I tell people the best way to do that is to fall in love with it. Love every aspect of it. For me, I love eating clean. I love living the lifestyle. I live it every day of the year. I don't feel like I may have to make any concessions. I don't eat the same kind of foods other people do, but neither am I missing it. I'm certainly not missing being overweight. I'm certainly not missing having high blood pressure. I'm certainly not missing having high cholesterol. I'm certainly not missing all the health ramifications that go along with having an alternative lifestyle to mine. I certainly do appreciate the things I do have, which are things like a lean body, a muscular body, one that I can play with my daughter. I can do the things I need to do. I don't have these kind of physical limitations. My brain works good. I'm healthy. All these things this lifestyle has given me. Not to mention I get to do something every day that I absolutely love doing, and which is I get to use my body. I get to work out. I get to see the progress. These are things I absolutely love doing about the sport. I get to compete once a year. I usually only let myself compete once a year because I'm too busy with athletes the rest of the year. But I do still get to compete and I love it. You know, it's what drew me to the sport in the first place. It's what drew me to this industry in the first place. So I get to participate in something that I really love doing. And I also get to compete as well and continue to fulfill that sport dream of mine of going out there on stage and competing with other people. I don't care about the results. I want to win, but I don't care about the results. It's not going to define my happiness in the sport.
No, you shouldn't let it. Yeah, it's not a very wise way to live your life is letting a contest determine whether or not you're going to be happy in your life. So that's right, a very wise way to go.
Yeah, and that's, to me, this is all about just continuing. For me, I'm always pushing. If anybody who sees me on social media stuff, they see I'm always pumping out stuff about positive energy and positive, being positive and positive attitude, because I don't believe in negative that works for anything. Because I don't work with my clients that way. I don't berate them. I don't negatively reinforce anything. Everything's couched in the positive. That's the only thing I know that works. It works consistently so I keep my attitude, and I believe that success comes from, it's a direct reflection of your attitude and your actions, period. If your attitude is in the right place, your actions will follow, and you cannot help but have a good result sooner or later. It may not always come when you want it on our own timelines.
Right.
The things that we want in life, but they do come. If you're positioned in the right, if you have your nose pointed in the right place, your attitude's right and your actions support it, then you can't go wrong. To me, that's what I mean when I say fall in love with your lifestyle. It has a lot to do with those aspects as well.
Well, there's a couple things, Tad, that you kind of touched on, and I think may have a little controversy in them.
Sure.
One was that you were saying that, are you happy? Do you look in the mirror? Are you happy with your body? I think there's some people out there who would argue that the same thing for those who are that dedicated to fitness and bodybuilding and say, well, you know, aren't you just happy with your body the way you are? Why do you have to fight so hard to change your body? You know, you should just be happy with the body that you've been given, and go from
absolutely.
There.
Well, that's one approach that you can take. But that's also like saying I should be happy with the knowledge that I have and I should never learn anything new. And I say, well, that's not me either. I always want to learn something new. That's why I went to school. So I went to graduate school because I wasn't satisfied with, I'm happy with who I am, but I'm not necessarily happy all the time with where my body's at. I want it to be better and better and better, but that doesn't make me an unhappy person. There's a difference. I'm not going to be unhappy about who I am. Or about my body, but I'm also not necessarily don't have to be content with where I'm at, the position that my body's in this particular moment. Maybe we're using the term happiness a little bit too liberally. I am happy pursuing my goals. I don't have to attain them to make myself happy.
Right.
It's destination oriented. I'm process oriented. So I focus on process. I love the process of doing this. As long as I'm on a road, on a journey, and I'm on that process, then everything's great. I'm happy and I can make course corrections. I can be exuberantly happy about that. I don't have to look like Mr. Olympia. I don't have to be a particular, have my arms don't have to be a particular size, or I don't have to look a certain way for me to be happy with who I am. But doesn't mean that I'm not shooting for it doesn't mean my goals aren't positioned to put me in a position so I can maybe attain some of those things. Those aren't the defining characteristics.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a certain kind of interesting dichotomy in fitness is that a lot of people are pushing for a certain physique because that physique kind of represents a character. But really, when you're looking in the mirror, you shouldn't let your physique define your character, or what you see in the mirror shouldn't to you tell you anything about who you are as a person necessarily. But that's kind of in a way also what we're seeking. A lot of bodybuilders, a lot of people who are in fitness and competing, is that you get that in your head still, that what you look like is a reflection of your character. And that's prevalent in society. I don't think we're going to get away from that, but
no,
I think
you're right.
When it becomes unhealthy. It's when we don't use that to motivate ourselves to do positive things, but when it becomes either a demotivator or it motivates us into areas of anorexia and bulimia and things like that.
And it could go in the other direction too.
Yeah.
I see it happen a lot. People attain a certain degree of success with their physique in this arena, in bodybuilding or fitness or figure, bikini, all these kinds of different divisions. They attain some success there and they somehow think because their physique is at a certain level where they're winning amongst some of the best physiques. And they kind of think that's a reflection of who they are as a person, that somehow now that they are better than everybody else.
Right.
And that's sort of that old classic
right.
sort of bodybuilders as egotistical or narcissistic. And it really isn't the case with most of the guys I know. And nor is it the case for myself. Most certainly. I don't cross that line. My physique may look better under certain standards than some people's, but it doesn't make me a better person than them necessarily. Neither does it make me any better than anybody else. It just says that I have a different standard for my body. In the same way that somebody might have a different standard for their education. But it doesn't necessarily make, for me, it's not a judgment call on the individual. It's more of a judgment call on your standards. And there's nothing right or wrong about standards. Anybody, you know, some people will feel just very, very comfortable being a certain way, and that's fine. If it works for them, and I've always said this, it works the same for religion for me. That if it has power in your life, if that standard, whatever it is, has power in your life, then do it. If it doesn't, then don't. You know,
right.
It's plain and simple. For me, the standard that I've put to myself in the world of bodybuilding has power for me in my life. I don't care if anybody else likes it. I'm the only one that has to like it. And I would say the same thing to anybody else. You know, if you really love the way you are, then be that. But don't kid yourself, you know? Some people can say they love themselves, but they really don't. I would never say that this sport is necessarily the healthiest sport in its extremes. When you get ready for contests,
right.
The last stage is totally not healthy. And that is, so in, from that standpoint, that's the least desirable part of it. When I look at somebody who's extremely obese, I think to myself, that person really does need some changes in their life if they expect to live any longer in a healthy way, or if they expect the quality of their life to be better. It doesn't make them a bad person. It just says that it doesn't make them any worse or better, but it certainly speaks to the standard they have for their body. But whatever the case is, it doesn't make them any worse, or it doesn't make them into a bad person. It just says that, hey, you know, don't be surprised if you have some negative consequences that are associated with that, having that kind of body. are living with that kind of standard in your body. I don't think that anybody who's really heavily obese really wants to be that way for the most part. I may be speaking out of turn, but I think for the most part, most people want to be healthy and they want to be, they want to have a reasonable lifestyle. I don't think that everybody has to look like a bikini champion or everybody has to look like a bodybuilding champion. No, not at all. I don't think that at all. As a matter of fact, I think that it's better that few people want that. Because, we all, I think, if you want the fullest, if you want to live a healthy, long life that has a lot of value and quality to it in terms of how you can live, what you can do, you're going to have to fit into a certain box, which means that you're probably not going to, your mortality rates go up dramatically when your BMI goes up significantly.
Right.
So it's just, and consequently the other direction too, if it's too low, if you don't have enough weight, in the animal kingdom, these creatures tend to die quicker. The ones on both ends of the scales, you want to fit somewhere in the middle. But irregardless of all those things, the judgment call is really left to the individual. I really don't cast too many judgments on people when it comes to this kind of stuff. I've just lived too long. I used to when I was younger, but now I realize that, hey man, as long as you're happy with where you're at, as long as you're happy with your body and you're honest about that, then that's all that really matters. For me, I'm very happy with where I'm taking my body. I'm not always content or I'm not always satisfied with where it's at the moment. I'm always pushing to move it forward. But that doesn't mean I'm not a happy person with the process that I'm on. I'm very, very happy about that. And that's my litmus test for my lifestyle is this stuff adding value to my life? Am I happy about it? And is it producing the kinds of happiness in my life, the kind of bliss in my life that I want? And bodybuilding for me definitely has. This lifestyle definitely has. I'll do it till I die.
Awesome. So. Yeah, I think you're doing it the right way. Not that I'm an expert on how to do anything the right way. But I really like that you're not selling the personality. There's this idea in the bodybuilding community that we've lost the personalities of bodybuilding. And I think when people say the personalities in bodybuilding, I think they are referencing that, a lot of the ego, pro wrestler, kind of ego thing that these, bodybuilders are supposed to have. But I think we do need to lose that. I think if we want to appeal to a larger audience, to have more people get into fitness, I think that stereotype needs to go away. I don't think we should be selling these over-dramatized personalities, but real personalities from real people. And I like how you're not trying to oversell a cocky or overindulgent personality, not a dominating personality. So I think I think that's good.
Well, I think that some sports like professional wrestling and some of these other arenas, I think that people have used those devices to sell those sports.
Right.
Use those devices to sell those characters.
And right.
Basically, they're using those devices to sell you something.
Right.
And yes. I'm not really here to sell anybody.
Right.
I don't care if you like what I do. I don't care if people like what I do. I don't care if people dislike or like it. It's really none of their concern. It's mine. But if they do and they want my help, I'm more than happy to share what I think it's my responsibility, as a person to share the talents that I have in this life. And I've done very well in helping people do it, achieve in the sport, as well as people to lose weight and things like that. But I don't think it's a requirement for everybody. And I don't think that everyone should adhere to this necessarily, this lifestyle. I think that it has value, but that's up to the individual to determine. And I also don't think that, I think you're right. I don't think we need to, I think honesty and sincerity go a long way. I promote transparency. So on the stuff that I put out there on my Instagram or on my Twitter or on my Facebook stuff, it's all very, very much me. I mean, it's me and my family. It's me and the athletes that I work with. It's me and the things that I put out there in terms of motivational things is all very much unique to me. It's not something that I'm bastardizing with somebody else. And it's not something that I'm necessarily saying that everybody has to adopt. It's just that, hey, I'm just sharing with people a transparent piece of me. So that way, and if it has value, take it and run with it. If it doesn't, leave it alone. And that's what that's my mantra, if you will. That's my sort of code that I live by, because I think that, we all have, every single one of us has something that we're good at. We have some kind of talent in this life. And so something that we're blessed with. And then, and if we don't share it, we lose out. We lose out by adding value to the bigger whole. And I really believe in this, that we have, that we're all part of a larger whole. And we do our own self a injustice when we don't share our gifts with other people. And I believe that to have true success in life and true happiness, there's one critical ingredient that you have to have. And that is, you have to live a life of service to others. If you don't, then you're gonna shortchange yourself. You know, we just happen to live in a culture where everything is about acquisition. It's about me, buy. What bigger, better thing can I get? More for me, less for you, kind of thing. And I don't buy into it. I don't buy into it at all.
I think you might have listened to last week's episode, because I got into some of that. So we're on the same page. Now let me shift gears just a tiny bit. You had talked earlier that when you were younger, you used body weight as your metric of whether or not you were being successful in your bodybuilding efforts. But then you said you don't use those same metrics now. So what are the right metrics to be?
Great news! Free Comic Book Day and the Union of Muscle have teamed up to bring you free comic books for fitness. Just go to www.unionofmuscle.com and click on Fitcoin Leaderboard. There you can learn about all the many great ways you can earn Fitcoins through fitness and spend them on free comic books. That's right, all you fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes of all ages. Now you can earn free comic books for fitness.
Listen up, all you fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes. Are you lifting with pain? Well, stop it. There's no more excuses, because I use Rubber Arm Muscle Rub. Now, many of you know that Rubber Arm Muscle Rub was on the podcast talking about how it is that they got their product to market, and you can listen to that episode. But I want you to go to www.myrubberarm.com. myrubberarm.com, all one word. And there, when you place your order for a Rubber Arm Muscle Rub, type in MUSCLE1 as your coupon code. This will get you 10% off, and it also helps the podcast out. So if you're lifting in pain, stop it. You don't need to do it anymore. Go out and get rubbed. Get Rubber Arm Muscle Rub. Remember, www.myrubberarm.com and type in MUSCLE1, that's the number one, not the word, into your coupon code for 10% off and to help out the union. Listen up, all you fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes. I have a clean little secret. I shave my chest. Yes, I do. It feels quite wonderful. And I shave my underarms, too. I shave my arms. And maybe some other things you guys don't really care about, but I found a secret to not get those pesky ingrown hairs. They're a pain in the chest, and hopefully nowhere else. But I found a secret to reduce the pain of those ingrown hairs, and that is through my sister's very own body scrub. She used to give it away to me for Christmas, and we finally bugged her and bugged her and bugged her into offering it to other people, because it works great for so many things, especially if you shave. So what you do is go to www.earthskinbodycare.com. That's all one word. Let me do it again, because it can get, there's a lot of words in there. earthskinbodycare.com. Now if you go there and type in the union coupon code MUSCLE1, you get 10% off, and guess what? She gives me a little something on the side, too, to help keep this podcast going. Guys, girls, if you shave any part of your body and you don't want ingrown hairs, get her scrub at earthskinbodycare.com. It'll help you shave strong and prosper.
Well, I try to be as accurate as possible. I'm very academic by nature, and I want to use a scientific method that's going to be the most accurate. So with my clients, as well as with myself, I'll use three different kinds of yardsticks that I use. The first one is obviously pictures. My athletes send me pictures, so I can evaluate, I can compare side by side, week by week. The second is body weight. That's a general a metric that I use that just gives me a general sense of what's going on, because I want to see it all. But also, skin fold testing. So like I have them, buy inexpensive pair of Skinfold calipers right. for testing body fat, and they plug it into their user account where I have a user space that is created for them, just for them on my website that's private. And they plug these things in so that I can see the data, they can see the data, they can see the graphs. And it gives a good, it gives me a nice smattering of a snapshot of what's going on with their body from week to week. And I monitor this from week to week, each week by week. So that way I can understand what their body's doing with the diet, what their body's doing with their training, what their body's doing in general. And I can usually pinpoint things pretty good with that. Cause I know, and they don't have to be experts at it. That's the great thing. You don't have to be an expert at skinfold testing. You just have to do it the same way every week.
Right.
So that way I know what the deviation is from week to week.
Right.
Is it going up? Is it going down? Is it staying the same? As long as they're doing it the same way, I'll be able to get this. And I'll be able to double check it with body weight and with tape measurements and with pictures. And that's what, and those are and I use them all to evaluate what is going on. And that's been the best way. It's been a very tried and true method. And my methodology has sort of evolved over the last 25 years, but.
Well, I hope so. You know, that means you've been getting better, you know?
Yeah. And that's where it's, and that's, this is where it's at today. And it's a lot easier now for me to pinpoint things. So when I'm given all this information.
Definitely. Yeah. You're working on the marginal change. And not necessarily the numbers change. It doesn't really matter what the numbers say, so long as you can see that they're changing on the margins. The difference is changing,
right.
And it's not so much where somebody starts or the exact weight they want to end up at, so to speak. But it's, you got to gauge it by that marginal change, because you never know. The calipers could be off, how they're doing it could be off, you know, whatever. But you know, if you get a lot of measurements in there. And you can see how those margins are changing. I can definitely see how that's a bit more of a scientific method of going about it, looking at that marginal change.
Yeah, it allows me to be a little more precise with what is changing. Because sometimes, you know, weight is extremely nebulous, as you probably know. It's like, you know, you can
water, bathroom. Water, have you gone to the bathroom today?
All that stuff. You know, even the lack of sleep. All these
right.
things affect body weight, and it can affect it by several pounds sometimes for some people. And that can throw off what you're doing. Like, you know, it can make it appear as if just from a weight perspective, that your body weight is going up by, you know, it can make it look like you're going the opposite direction than what you want to go. And, when in reality, it's not the case. It's just, you know, some extra fluid that the cells retain for whatever reasons. And it can be very nebulous. So I like to have I chose several different methods. So that I can compare them all at once, and I can see. And then, and like I said, I talk to all my athletes and all my clients every week for at least a couple of minutes, and I get a chance to ask them some questions. And usually, if something's a little nebulous in the numbers, I can almost always suss it out with a short couple of questions, and that clues me in a lot as well. Because sometimes people, there are things that they just can't be included on those measurements that can explain some of those deviations.
Can you give me one example of what
absolutely.
You're talking about?
Like a lack of sleep, for instance.
If
you're getting less than 6 hours sleep a night, you are going to start to retain fluid yourself, especially as you get leaner and leaner and leaner. And when your diet is honed in, eating the same things every day for an extended period of time, doing cardio, working out, between cortisol levels and all these different things that are going on, your body is extremely sensitive to all of these kinds of stress hormones. And when you don't sleep, get that restful period of time where you're not putting anything in your digestive system. You're not drinking any water. You're not stressing your system. Everything is at rest, and you're sleeping. All those stress hormones come down, and your body's able to release fluids and release toxins and release waste products. Well, if you're not sleeping enough, your body never gets a chance to do that. And people who work these weird night shifts, I found like nurses and police officers and people that work these weird night shifts where they're doing like, you know, they're working 24 hours or 12 hours in a day, and they're working at midnight,
right.
And they're working, and they have to skip sleep and have to do all these weird things, and then they get back on their normal sleep schedule for 4 days, and they're off in 3 days.
Right.
Those people have it shows up time and time again. The insulin levels will climb. The longer you're up, the higher your insulin levels start to climb. I mean, there's all these little byproducts that contribute to this. And so what the net result of it is that it skews the weight. It makes them, they do that for a few days, and it skews the weight. It makes them look like they're gaining weight,
right?
And I can see it in the pictures as well.
Right.
I can see the fluid and the water on their bodies, and that's not a good thing. It's like not in a sport where we're judged on aesthetics. So, and most people don't want it.
Right.
You
know, extra.
You don't want extra food intensity. Anyway. So these things are that's one good example of how that could, how just something small like that, that is not visible in the data, but is very much a part of their lifestyle, that's going to affect those numbers. So, because it's an assumption, you should.
Yeah.
The FDA just revised the sleep standards now, and they're saying that they want stuff that the average adult needs 8 hours of sleep. Now they're saying that the average adult now needs only 7 hours.
Oh, okay.
But if you get less than six, there's a very good chance you can start to aggregate fluid.
Man, I don't know. If you're working out hard, I feel it. If I don't get enough sleep when I'm working out hard, my body just starts trying to take that sleep anyways.
Oh, yeah. Well, my body doesn't give me a choice.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're hitting the gym hard and you're trying to, you know, push it all day, every day, doing the things you got to do to make it in this life. And I don't see how you can really build a great physique and a healthy life without making sleep part of that lifestyle.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, correct.
Now, your training method seems to rely a bit on your clients being honest with you. How do trainers make sure that their clients are honest with them?
Well, it's in their best interest to be honest with me. I'm trained to help them get ready for a contest, and I tell them, most people, I think, when they hire somebody like a trainer or like a coach like myself, they want to please the coach. They want to impress them. They want to make sure that, hey, look, But results always bear themselves out. And I tell people this always on the phone. Look, you're going to get out of this as much as you can do it. I'm not going to berate you. I'm not going to put you down. And I don't expect you to be perfect. But I do expect you to be pretty good most of the time. Because that is how you succeed this. Now, they're the only ones who's throwing their money away. I don't want to waste my time either, because they're a reflection of me when they step on stage.
Right.
And most of them know this. And so it's only in their best interest to be honest. You hide nothing. Trust me. I've seen it all. People who think they're hiding stuff from me, you know, they're not.
Right.
I know when they cheated. I know when they have bothered that. I know when they're not doing their cardio. I know, for the most part, I do.
And so how do you react once you figure that out?
Well, I never accuse people. I just always ask them. If they tell me they are, then I take them for at this time. But I'll tell them that they're behind. And most of the time, they always know why they're behind. Like if they're, you know, we got so many weeks to a show and so much time. It's like, those athletes almost always are awesome. My athletes are almost always up front. They're like, hey, man, I cheated this thing. Because they want to tell me so that I can help them correct
it. Yeah, they can fix it.
Yeah, it's the other ones that don't have something that's got a carrot in front of them. They just want to lose some weight. They say, oh, your week was pretty good. Okay, well, here's a good telltale sign. I say, how was your week? How was your week of dieting? And they'll say, oh, it was pretty good. That means they cheated a couple times. If they say, hey, it was great, that means they cheated probably once. If they say, I was perfect, that means they did it.
Okay, all right. All right.
I have never heard somebody say, I was perfect, when they knew they cheated and they weren't supposed to. So I know, and it's almost invariably, 100% of the time, it's the case. It's like, they'll tell me, they're proud to tell me that they're perfect. I was on point this whole week. Perfect. Like, okay, fantastic. That's awesome. Great. Good job.
Nice, nice.
But when they say, oh, I was pretty good, that means, oh, man, there was a couple times I know it. I just know it. It's like, but, you know, irregardless of all that, what really matters at the end of the day for me is that they're enjoying their process, that we're getting the results that we want in a reasonable amount of time. And I think also that they have a good attitude, because all the ones that have the best attitude about this, they always do better. Always, always. People, as a matter of fact, when people inquire about my services, I have a qualification process, because I don't take everybody that comes to me.
Okay, let's hear about that.
So I have three criteria. They're really simple. Most anybody could actually qualify for this. But when you hear it, you'll understand.
Right.
So the first one is that I only want people that really want to work with. The second one, and that seems obvious, but hey.
Why do you require that, though?
Because some people just want pro cards, some people just want to win shows, and I don't want those people that just want to do those things. I want people that really want to work with me. They want to work with me because of something's particular about me. They like my attitude, they like my process, they like something about it, they like it, because most people in the industry have heard about me.
Yes.
Or somebody else. So it's a lot of it's a word of mouth kind of thing. And I want them to make it, this is an active choice. And it could be as simple as, hey, I looked you up on the internet and I saw what people said about you. I saw this and I watched your videos and I love your attitude and I want to work.
Right.
That is what I want. Okay. Those kinds of people. Second thing is, I want only people with a positive attitude.
How do you determine whether or not they have a positive? Because, I mean, you know, sometimes they're just going through a hard time and that's why they're contacting. They're like, man.
Absolutely.
I'm down. I'm down on my luck. Dad, help me out. Is that positive?
What I'm really asking people to say is I'm asking people to give an effort to do that. I'm saying, look, I expect people to have bad days. I have bad days.
Right.
But if that is not of primary importance to them, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want anyone that's going to sit there and play the blame game when things don't go right. I don't want anyone that's going to sit there and give me excuses. I want somebody who's going to be to the best of their ability to be as honest with me, but more importantly, to have a positive attitude, to be able to intuitively see, and I can usually suss that out really fast, a quick conversation. I can tell, I can sense the energy right away, and I've been 100% accurate almost all the time. And because those kinds of clients, the ones that are negative, they're just always, you know, when things don't go right, they're always looking for someone to blame, something to blame. And
right.
I don't really have time for that, you know? There's always, nothing is perfect in this life. And I don't blame them for it, but what I'm saying is that that's not the kind of thing.
So those marginal changes again, you're not looking for them to change how the metrics are measured, but just if there's a change in those metrics.
Well, I'm looking for a person that intuitively wants to be positive.
Right.
That wants this to be a positive process. That wants to have the kind of attitude that supports positivity. That makes sense. Because I'm all about positive. I don't want anybody that's not, that has a negative outlook. And I think that most people consider themselves positive, but in reality, they're not.
Sure.
They want to be, and all I want is the ones that really want to be. And then, by the way.
Well, I mean, this is your life too, that they're absolutely becoming a part of in a way.
What I don't want to have happen.
Yeah.
Is each week when I have a schedule to call them and talk to them. About their week. I don't want to go, oh man, I gotta call so-and-so.
Right, right.
I want to enjoy all my conversations.
Yes.
I want to look forward to talking to everybody. And I have like, and I work with, you know.
Well, that could affect the next client you talk to. You know, you were just on the phone with Sandy Sourpuss, and now you gotta get on and talk to somebody else, and you gotta find a way to shake that off and give your best to the next person who's full of joy and waiting, but you know, then you come on and you're like, well.
I will say this, though, that over the years, I don't get those many people.
That's good.
They tend to weed themselves out by themselves. And nowadays, I think most of the people in the industry, and I'm friends with just about everybody of significance in the industry, in the bodybuilding industry, fitness industry, and they pretty much know me as, you know, that I'm always positive. I'm always, this is what I preach. This is what I believe in. This is how I live my life. And they kind of, the bad ones just sort of kind of, they don't even come to me.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You're setting an expectation. And if they can't meet that expectation, they'll know ahead of time. The hard part is when you don't set that expectation, that's when people get, I guess, a little bit more, you know, disappointed or whatever, because they went in expecting one thing and got another. You're setting that expectation. And so they know coming into it what's going on. That's smart.
And by the way, my final criteria is I want people that are willing to lay their trust. That seems obvious, but it's not always. I want to make it explicit.
Right.
So I want them to know that, look, I may be asking you to do things that you've never done before in your life.
Right.
That you've never tried before. And I'm asking you to have some faith in the process that I put in front of you because remember, As the old famous adage goes, you keep doing the same thing over and over, you get the same results. In order to change yourself, you got to do something different. You got to break that whatever tradition is that you're involved in. You got to break it. You got to start do something different. That's how the body changes. That's how we change. That's how we grow. We do something different. And I'm asking people inherently. I'm not asking for me to fit what I do into what you want. I'm asking you to fit what I want you to do in your life. You know, there's a big difference.
Yes.
So, because I know what works.
Right.
You know, it's like, if I can make it work another way, I will. But for the most part, I'm asking people to have the faith in my process and to follow it. And if they can do, if they can give that a shot, and make an attempt at that, I'm willing to add into my roster. But I'm so busy that I can pick and choose. So I will pick those people that have these attributes, that are willing to have these attributes in their process. And I, and you know, and my athletes and my people know, I bury this point home that this is a process. I tell them, focus on your process. I'll get these emails, these calls, and once in a while, this is, oh, well, I don't think I did very well this week. I, you know, I'm up a pound, or I only lost a half a pound. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Remember, my job is to assess the progress. Your job is to be a master of your process.
Right.
So focus on your process. Focus on your process. I will focus on the results. Trust me. I'm going to move you along as fast as you can. You can't do anything about that. Your body does what it does. I will do the very best to make sure that the process you have is getting you where you want to. But you have to make sure that you don't distract yourself. Because, man, that is an athlete and a person's worst enemy is their own brain. They think they should be doing one thing and they're doing another. They think they should have gotten one set of results and got another, and then they're all screwed up in the head and they're like, I should just quit.
Well, but yeah, I should try something new. They're so close to the problem they lose perspective.
They lose perspective and they just can't, and then it ends up derailing them completely.
Right.
And you know, that's the whole so many people fall into that. Even very successful athletes can easily fall.
So what advice would you give, say, to a 40-year-old woman to get her in the right perspective for getting healthy, losing the weight?
Well, first, I mean, obviously, it's got to be something that she wants. I mean, you motivation is always built on one primary premise, and that is purpose. Find your purpose. If you don't have purpose, forget it. You're going to quit after a week or two. Once it gets hard, once you hit the first stumbling block, once you hit the first, you know, that first real big challenge, whatever it may be. Because people say, tell them, oh, I can lose. I usually lose, you know, 10 pounds the first 2 weeks. And, yeah, of course you do. It's like, and then after that, it gets really tough. And that's when they give up.
Right.
It's like, well, you didn't even give any time. It took you 40 years to put it on. You only gave it 3 weeks.
Yeah. Right. I think one thing I like to do is try to inspire them to have not just a purpose, but a big purpose. One that inspires them. Something that's more than the mundane. And usually it's what's lying underneath the first purpose or the first goal that they're giving out.
For me, it was, I wanted to be Mr. Olympia. That was my purpose when I first started. I wanted to be a great bodybuilder. I wanted to have this archetypal physique. You know, I wanted to look like my heroes and the comic books that I collect.
Right.
I was a huge comic collector. I wanted to look like this. This was my purpose. And that fueled me. Years. It still does today. It still fuels me. And it creates this sense of urgency. It creates this motivation. And I think, and it's a grand one. My mother always told me the same as what you just iterated, which is, if you're going to dream, she'd say, dream big.
Yeah.
There's no point in dreaming small. So choose, you're right. Choose big. Have a purpose that's big. Don't choose tiny little things. Because most people make the mistake of thinking that goals and purpose are the same thing.
Right.
Because, you know, goals have a date. They have a plan of attack and an action plan. And these guys, and I really don't believe in, well, I've set goals since I was 13 years old. Every year. And I used to keep a matrix of my success rate. And I had a 97% success rate from the time I was 13 to the time I was 30. 44 now. Nice. And, I stopped setting goals in my early 30s because I realized that setting goals only sets me up to set more goals. And I'm never happy. I'm never happy. I'm always looking forward to being happy. I will be happy when I achieve this.
Right.
And it's part of the framework that I work in my own life. It's this, I have this very tunnel vision kind of, outlook towards my goals. I can't stop until I finish. I couldn't even do crossword puzzles or jigsaw puzzles or
I feel you.
Because I wouldn't stop until I completed it. It was like, you know, it took me 3 days and I'd be up for 3 days trying to put this thing together.
So
for me, setting goals became, I realized the limitations that I had in my life, that it was just creating more unhappiness, that it was, I could never really achieve. So I focused on process. I changed my philosophies. I focused on process instead of using goals as my main way to motivate me to achieve these great things, I said, hey, you know what? If I enjoy and I love what I do every day, my process, then I know I pointed myself in the direction that I want. I'm always evaluating every week. Then I will accomplish as much of the things that I've always wanted out of my body that I possibly can. Now I have certain milestones that I would like to achieve, but I don't set them as goals. It's just something personal to me. I just don't, because I'm the kind of guy that if I have a goal, I'm going to die trying to get it.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
I'm like a dead dog that just won't let go of that bone, you know? And some people say that I am still kind of like that. But,
well, yeah, varying degrees. They don't maybe see it the same way you do. You see yourself in a probably different light than they see you, which is, you know, that's always part of the world, part of life. That's great. Well, we're coming to the end of the show. Is there any shout outs you want to give or, any information? We'll include in the show notes, of course, where you can get in touch with Tad.
Well, people can reach me on my website, which is tadthedietcoach.com or positivemuscle.com. They both go to the same website. They can also reach my Instagram, Tad the Diet Coach, and Twitter, Tad the Diet Coach, and I have a fan page as well as a personal page, but I interact with both, but my fan page is Tad the Diet Coach. So it's pretty easy to reach me on any of those things, and I welcome it. Actually, I answer lots of questions. I don't usually charge people to do that. I answer real quick questions all the time because I feel like, again, like I said before, I feel like it's my I feel like I have a responsibility to give back to as much as I possibly can, given my schedule.
Right.
There will come a day, though, I will say this, that and I really, really, really have a big slant towards this. There's going to come a day in the not-too-distant future when at the minimum half of my time will be spent on philanthropic work, giving back either some way, shape, or form, because I intend to, any amount of wealth that I intend to accumulate on this planet, it's not being passed down, it's being given away to people. To feed and to clothe and to help with these kinds of things that I think are basic necessities. Because you can't be a good person in life. Sorry, it doesn't work.
Oh, but, you meant, I was thinking of a different hungry for a second.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of just food.
Food, okay.
There are children out there in this yes. world who have food, and I hate to bring it to, I'm not trying to change the focus of this conversation, but.
Oh, no.
It's something that's near and dear to my heart, yes. but I think that if I have any blessings in this life and I'm able to through the area of fitness, be able to influence or be able to have any degree of success and any kind of monetary success, which I've been blessed to have, then it's going to go back. It's going back to people who really, really can use it. I'm not passing it down to my children. I'm not passing it down to anybody. If I've done my job correctly as a parent, then they will have the skills they need to make a successful life, and which I know they will. I'll give them an education. I'll give them the tools they need. They can make their own life. They can make it just as happy. But some people aren't given those opportunities.
Yeah.
And those are the people that I'm talking about. People
right.
who don't have food, or don't have clothes, don't have the opportunities to do the things that I've had the luxury of doing. And I grew up poor too, and I understand, North Las Vegas, if anybody out there who knows anything about that, I grew up, that's where I grew up. And, you know, it's not an easy world to escape. I was very fortunate that my mother did not, the kind of standards she set before my brother and I were very, very high standards. She forced us to pick role models and heroes that were bigger than life. You know?
Fun.
And it was all couched in a very moral way, because everybody who knows me knows that I incorporate it all into my practice. My moral aptitudes, my personal approach to everything, all of it is very much a part. I don't believe in separating any of this stuff. Who you see as Tad the Diet Coach is who you see as Tad. And I interact and I with my clients and my athletes very much as I would if I had known them as friends or on the street, because I consider all of them my friends. I don't take on clients that I don't think that they'll become good friends with, because I know I want to work with my friends.
Right.
I want to fill a life up with that kind of energy. And I believe in giving it back as much as I possibly can. So it's going to all go. I actually think it's kind of a, it's a shame, and it should be illegal to aggregate that kind of wealth, pass it along. So that alone would probably preclude me from becoming president.
Well, you know, yeah. We'll leave that discussion for a different podcast, most definitely. Well, Tad, I want to thank you for taking the time to coming on the podcast, and for all you fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes out there, you're beautiful. But remember to lift one, strong, two, and three, prosper.
Four, huh?
Are you a certified personal trainer and looking to expand your business? Or a certified nutritionist? If so, please contact me at unionofmuscle.coachball@gmail.com. That's unionofmuscle, all is one word, coachpaul, Paul is one word, at gmail.com. Help others to lift strong and prosper.
Would you like to be a guest on our podcast? Go to theunionofmuscle.com and go to the Contact Us page. There you will find an application for guest speakers.
Next week on the Union Podcast, we'll be speaking with Charina Ferguson.
Hi, this is Charina Ferguson, and you are listening to the Union Podcast, Live Strong and Prosper.
You have been listening to the Union Podcast. All rights are reserved by the content's creators.